Piling up for some reason. Anyway, looks like another beautiful day, and outside of that, we're doing pretty good. I think my allergy is starting to show up. The doctor told me last week that I had an allergy. He was able to do that from the blood work. But at any rate, I've been sneezing, and a lot of pollen around. But boy, down south, they really get hit hard with pollen. Anyhow, back over to you. How's your packing up going? KC2ZUM, W2BOV.
W2BOV, KC2ZUM. It's coming along slowly, but as I mentioned last week, the actual moving date that the trucks get here will be 3 weeks away. So that gives me plenty of time to do everything that I need. And what I've been doing is I've been putting some things in storage, and I was going to move some of that stuff myself with a box truck to a different storage facility up where we're moving to. But then I decided, you know, when I factor in the cost, whether it be U-Haul or whatever it is, it's better maybe that I just let the movers do everything. It's costing me an arm and a leg anyway, so if you tack on another couple of hours, what the heck? It's less wear and tear on me, making all of those trips back and forth. So I decided I would just let them take everything from here, at least what's left here. And from the storage facility, that'll be an extra stop. Those things will go on last, and then the things that go in the truck last will go to the other storage facility so that I don't pile up everything in one location first, because I'll have plenty of time to go through it. The whole idea is to make it look like a home for the wife and not a radio station, if you know what I mean. Back over to you, Bob. W2BOB, KC2ZUM.
KC2ZUM. Good morning.
Boy, that was really, I guess it was George. You broke up there, George, but good morning, K2BIE. And we have KC2ZU. And let me see who else is with us for the CBS retirees net this morning. W2BOB standing by for other check-ins from them.
N1XUG, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Ted. Good signal. Sound great. We missed you on Wednesday, but glad you're here today. Anyone else?
KC2EFG, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. KC2EMG recognized. Any others?
N2NBR.
Hey, good morning, John. We missed you on Wednesday, too, so hope everybody's okay. And one more standby for any other check-in. All right, nothing heard. I would like to mention that as we get underway, the request has been made on Wednesday that we leave space in between transmissions to allow any mobile stations to get in. And it's a good point. So please do not immediately respond when it's turned over to you. Just take a deep breath and count to three or something, and that'll work. So it's a matter of amateur radio courtesy. Okay, anyway, Alan's been filling me in here on his packing for the move in 3 weeks, and I think you're doing the right thing, Alan. You know, you're going to be under enough pressure and enough things to do when the move actually takes place, rather than to be burdened with having to come back down from upstate and transport things back up yourself. So, all right, let's move it along. We have KC2ZUM, K2VIE, N1XUG, KC2EMG, and N2NBR. This is W2BOV, and over to KC2ZUM.
W2BOV, KC2ZUM. Good morning to you, George, and good morning to you, Ted. Good to hear you in there. happy birthday to you, Bob Squared. I apologize. I forgot to mention that before I signed on Wednesday, okay, because I had noted that it was your special day, and I had pulled the switch when I left early, which I'll be leaving early again today, doing some running around here, and many, many more to you, okay? And I believe I did say good morning to you, John, as well there. As I was telling Bob, W2BOB, I was planning on, well, because I'm putting a lot of stuff in storage locally, and I have another storage facility up where I'm moving to that I opened up, and I was going to start making trips with a box truck, a U-Haul or something like that, and taking those things to storage up there. But then I realized with the cost to do that, it's just easier to let the movers do everything. So when they come here first to take out all the heavy stuff, they will make a stop at the storage facility, unload that place, and then everything will go up in one truck ride instead of me going back and forth. And because it's going to be what it'll cost for the few extra hours for them to do that, it's costing a lot as it is, so I might as well just let them all do it, and everything will be packed properly and insured, and that's the better way to go. So thanks for the comments on that, Bob. It's a lot easier than the trips running back and forth. I could be doing other things here. So that's what we're going to do, and that's 3 weeks away. And although leaving here has also created some other problems, and let me drop. Paying my lease early, and that's created some other problems, but I've spoken with the people that handle that, and what I believe is happening is because that I've taken some people here to court, and they've been making some waves that they're trying to penalize me for terminating the lease early. But with all the proper documentation that I have, which I submitted to management yesterday, we'll see what happens. I don't think they want to be responsible for some of the things that's been happening or might happen, so I think they'll make the right decision, and I'll get out of here and just walk away clean, and they can do whatever they want here with this apartment, and I won't care anymore at that point. I've tried to do the right thing for 28 years here. That note, as I mentioned, it's 63 degrees, and we're just trying to hang in here as best we can. So, that note, we will turn it over to George. We'll probably be here for two more go-rounds, and then we're going to go 73. So over to you, George, K2BIE. This is KC2ZUM.
Okay, KC2ZUM and the group K2BIE. Well, Alan, I'm so glad you made arrangements like that, because there's nothing like the leaving of a place like this. Of course, we want you back, and we want you back as soon as you can, so we wish you the best to get set up soon. I'm going to ask a quick question of Bob, W2BOB. Bob, I'm sorry, but I was distracted here when I was first getting on. I think you said my signal broke up, so I must have been in a bad position. Is my signal better on number one, and number two, who do I turn it over to?
Fine now, George, and it goes to Tad after you. And you got to pause. You didn't pause that time.
Yeah, I thought I counted to three. All right. Well, I'll count to five. How about that? I appreciate that, Bob. Thank you very much. Let me see. What do I have to report here? Yesterday, we tested out an antenna that Howie made for me, which is the K4X or K4FZ, whatever, that was in QFT, the one that is made with ladder line. It's a 40-meter antenna, and a fabulous piece of work. and Harry was kind enough to make that and give it to me. So I've just done a sketch that shows how I can install it absolutely, totally stealth under my deck, and I'll be looking to get that on. Tag, you'll be delighted to know that the rig that I borrowed from you is just hunky-dory. It works like mad. I listened to the Nuts, Bolts, and Screws net on 7185 yesterday, and I'm looking forward to hearing it even better now with the antenna. And with that, let me put it over to you, N1FCG and the group, and I hope you're doing well this morning. K2BIE.
K2BIE, N1XUG, and good morning to everyone on the net. Sorry I missed you on Wednesday, but if I have a bad night and I'm sleeping in the morning, my aide will not wake me up, so I have to lose the transmission. And I really don't want to take any sleeping pills. I must try and avoid that as much as possible. Although last night I had to take one because I watched the basketball game, and I guess I got overly excited, and it took me a little while to get to sleep. Since I'm mentally, I don't get much exercise. You guys running around, it's okay. Maybe running around more than you should. But I don't have that opportunity at the moment. So I will turn it over to you. Happy birthday to you. KC2EMG, N1XUG.
KC2EMG, Ted, thank you so much for your greeting. I got news for you, though. Keep your day job. Whatever that is. So much for that. Been busy time yesterday. It was lunch with college chums of my wife, and so that took us up to Connecticut. And it was just for fun, we pulled by the house to check things out. And there were people in shorts and even bathing suits sitting in chairs on the beach. Would you believe? But anyway, on to Stratford, and from there north to the inland from Stratford. It's amazing what kind of restaurants there are. There's an Asian restaurant that we went to, and a $10 lunch, which was three courses or more, all of them good. And wow. That being said, I hate to talk about food. That's a little too hedonistic. But what I did notice with surprise, while we were waiting, we rendezvoused at this house in Stratford. One couple comes down from up Clinton Way. So while I was there, I had my rig, this little handy talkie, with me. And I went over on the aviation band to see what was cooking, and to my great surprise, I could pick up New York Area Control, which of course is out of MacArthur, but I could pick up the ground as well as the air. Normally, I can only hear the air, but they're 800 feet up in the air, and of course, I would cross the sound from, Comac? No, whatever. So, that was an interesting exercise. And frankly, when you can hear both sides, it's even more it's even more impressive, because it's never silent, and especially on New York Area Control. Okay, over to you, N2NBR, KC2EMG here.
Okay, good morning, gentlemen. Bob, Alan, George, Ted, Bob Squared. Temperature here is 63 degrees. Barometric pressure is 30.04. And Alan, I wanted to caution you about, you've mentioned that you did get the insurance. That's one mistake I did not do when I made my move some 20 years ago. Damaged some furniture, but fortunately it wasn't particularly valuable furniture. But the other thing is, if you do decide to drive up there with a box, make sure you stay off the Taconic Parkway since, as you probably know, they don't allow commercial traffic, you know, in the form of trucks and such. So which means you'd have to go up to, you know, go up Route 22 or something like that. Happy birthday, Bob Squared. Many more. The weather here, by the way, is slightly cloudy, very hazy, but way up high. And that's in one spot, another spot, it's almost pure blue sky. So, back to you, Bob, W2BOB in the group, N2NBR.
Okay, N2NBR, W2BOB with the CBS retirees. That's very good. I already wished Bob a happy birthday on Monday, but I'll do it again, and I'm glad you had a nice day. KC2MG. And I was going to mention this morning that I've noticed the past few days, since the temperatures became milder, we have three dogwood trees on our property, and every one of them had some sort of discoloring on the trunk. So I went out and checked, and it was, I guess it must have been sap. It didn't feel sticky or anything, but it was moist. All three trees had it. So some were even more laden with it than the other two, but at any rate, springtime. And the leaves on the big old tulip tree are coming out, so the forsythia is in bloom. The grape hyacinth, well, daffodils are doing well. The tulips haven't flowered yet, but they are very, very much above ground. And I'm trying to think what else, but at any rate, yeah, spring is officially here now, but I think it was here about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So that's the way things are going. And after seeing the reports, we watch WGN in Chicago via cable, and seeing their weather reports, temperatures up, I think, yesterday to 84 degrees, and people at the lake beachfront enjoying the outdoor activities. Summer is just that whole section of the United States. As far as the air traffic is concerned, yeah, I listen often, and one of the interesting things is to see after takeoff when they check in with the flight area on a different frequency than from the takeoff frequency. So this is in relation to Kennedy Airport. They'll get clearance to go to a higher altitude, and at the same time, they will either be passed off to another sectional air traffic control, or they'll remain on frequency for further escalations of altitude. But when they are passed over, I try to make a note of the frequency and enter it in sequence after the one that I'm listening to, because that's usually the way they dispatch. And you can follow it pretty far. The problem is after they're out of the New York, the metropolitan area, and they switch over, you can't hear the ground. You only hear them in the air. So. But it's kind of interesting. I tracked one of my wife's flights when she was flying to Arizona a couple of years ago doing that. And I was able to listen to it, I think, until they were well out into Pennsylvania. The aircraft, that is, by frequency following. So, anyway, it is interesting, and I like to listen to that stuff as well. All right, back over to Alan. KC2DUM, W2BOV.
Contact.
Go ahead.
There's a lot of noise on your signal. I don't know if it's you or if it's just the repeater, and I'm picking it up limitedly. Hey, Bob, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Go ahead, Alan.
W2BOB, KC2ZUM. Yes, I noticed some crackling there. I think it's probably the repeater because it's on everybody's transmission. So I think it's the repeater. It sounds like Rice Krispies. You know, maybe once you just first pour the milk on it. So it's not bad. You know, it's not bad. It kind of makes me think of the Rice Krispies or maybe the Cheerios or something like that, but more of the Krispies. But in any event, we're gonna continue to just keep moving along over here and doing what we can. And luckily, it's not too hot. Yesterday was a very nice day, and I don't know. I don't think that it reached 80, but it was pretty warm out there, and I'm not complaining. To the aviation stuff, considering where I'm at, we listen sometimes to, we're able to pick up LGA and JFK, not much of Newark, and we have some frequencies programmed in for the tower approach and information frequencies, as well as the information, the main information frequency, and some of the company frequencies that are on UHF. We listen to that sometimes. As I mentioned, most of you remember I used to work for Eastern years ago before getting into TV, and I noticed over the years that a lot of those frequencies from different airlines, especially the ones that are out, which were assigned to different companies, you know, they've maybe tripled up on some of the other companies, so they may have taken over the frequencies of other airlines, and for ramp control, ramp and aircraft services, and passenger services, and things like that. So there's always a lot going on those UHF frequencies throughout the day, and always very interesting to listen to. I'm even able to get a lot of the ground company frequencies from Kennedy over here. Let me drop. And it depends. I've noticed it depends on the type of antenna that I'm using for that, because I have a programmable digital trunking scanner, which I use for that, and then I have one of the commercial rigs that I'll put in some of the company frequencies in. But a lot depends on the signal strength, of quality of the signal, type of antenna you have. So what I did was is I had cut one specifically in that area, and it's just amazing how nice and clear it comes in, even if you're listening to the aircraft in the air, you know, talking, you know, aircraft to aircraft. It's always good things to hear there. And John, thank you. I am aware that the Taconic is not for commercial traffic, so and that's another thing. When I did the AAA, because I have a AAA program, which I'm a member of AAA, that seemed to have been a lot of different routes and turns and stuff going from, I think, the thruway. So with that, I just decided maybe I would rent a van, a minivan, and put as many things as I can in there legally without blocking the windows, and then just run up and down the Taconic once or twice and do that. It'd be a lot easier and a lot quicker. And then I have control of the time, because when you rent those trucks, you're at the mercy of when they open, and you have to travel those commercial routes, and that's a lot of time even on the return. So for me, the Taconic to the sprain in is much easier than playing around with those commercial routes. Over to you, George, K2BIE, KC2ZUM.
KC2ZUM and the group K2BIE. Well, I must tell you, Alan, it's amazing how thoroughly you have planned this evacuation, but I guess, you know, after 28 years in one place, I can imagine there's a lot of stuff to be moved, so good luck and Godspeed. I'm going to be signing out shortly because I have a chiropractor appointment. It is working. And They tried something new on me the other day. I had an MRI, so I guess we're going to get into serious work now. And I don't want to miss a minute of it. Ted, I wish you were up and around, old boy. I'd love to see you come on over here and take a gander at this setup. I'm not completely set up as yet, but it's looking good. So I'm going to offer my 73s, and I thank you very kindly for QSO. It's been a great time. Oh, I leave you with one thought, which is, if it's this warm in March, what's it going to be like in July? N1XUG to pick it up with the group. K2BIE will be signing 73 Sewell.
Contact.
Go ahead, contact.
2BOB. George, I wanted to mention to you, if you're dealing with lateral line, be very careful not to get it near anything metal. It will completely upset what's going on with any antenna patterns. QSL?
QSL. It's going to be near some wood, but it's not going to be near any metal.
Okay, very... It is above ground, though, right?
It is. As a matter of fact, it's being installed on the bottom of my deck. How is that?
Well, you know, the deck could be surface-mounted. I don't know.
No. The deck is up on pylons, and the ground slopes away from it behind, so the deck's average terrain height is about 16 feet. But with the surrounding terrain here, I mean, I'm looking down on a tennis court, which is at least 100 feet below.
Okay, well, it'll be interesting when you get it fired up and give us a report on how many contacts worldwide you're making. Sounds good. Thank you. Over to you, Tad, and N1XUG, W2BOB.
K2VIE, N1XUG. I'm glad you're making headway with it, George. I do miss it, because when I was using it, I had no problems. It was a great, great rig. Well, I see you're making contacts already, and I guess they don't know that you live up on top of a mountain, practically. So, you have good, clear shot of everything. I don't really have too much to say, except I will say that, I'm in a hospital bed, and I've gotten it from a hospice group, and the other day it wasn't working, so I had to call them, and they had to send a repairman, and those are things that I'm sure never cross your path. But that's one of my problems. But it's okay now, and I'm on my way again, and the bed moves up and down and up and back and forth and whatever. Sorry I have to talk about such things like that, but that's the way my life is running now. And with that, I will turn it over to you, KC2EMG, 87 years old. You're ahead of me. So best of everything to you, Bob. This is N1XUG.
N1XUG and the group, KC2EMG. Yes, Ted, and nobody is more surprised at that number than I. I know my mother went into the high 90s, my father... Unfortunately, passed away. He had colon cancer or something. It went undetected for years because the X-ray equipment of that time couldn't pick it up. It was right at the entrance to the duodenum. And the poor guy had attacks, stomach attacks at frequent intervals, but he worked through it, the guy that he was. Anyway, Alan... I used to have to make great routine. When you said Eastern Airlines, I immediately thought of that Martin, the silver falcon that used to fly, and remember the G. Connie was the golden falcon. And I used to make regular trips to North Carolina on business, and I would prefer to fly the smaller plane because even though I flew out of Newark and made a stop in Washington, if I sat three back on the aisle, I could watch everything that went on in the cockpit. And I would see the guy, we'd take off, and I would see him reach down for the console and say, oh, he's And then I would see, well, as we taxied out, I'd see overhead, reach up, and I would hear the auto field, which was on the Collins radio, was on a baggage rack. It was just after the cockpit, before the passenger seating. And so I watched everything that went on. And it was a lot of fun. I was accused of learning to try to fly by osmosis. Well, the fact is that I was able to take controls of a neighbor's Cessna one day when he took me up and flew. But fond recollection of Easton. So, and to NBR to pick it up, KC2EMG.
Okay, Bob, you dropped out a couple of times there. You're, I guess you're going in and out of your sweet spot there. I don't have all that much to say myself this morning, except for, you know, the Weather Channel runs these mini stories on the guys that fly remote places in northwestern Canada and I guess up to, to Alaska. They never talk about the customs issues, but they fly around up there. I think they're all crazy. The fact that you have to put a blanket over an engine to get it started and warm it up, you know, hours ahead of time in an aircraft situation, to me, is you're asking that engine to do too much. But that's just my landlubber or sea-lubber experience. I treat my engines on the boat and in the cars as best as I can. I don't subject them to that kind of abuse. But I guess they'd make a lot of money doing that sort of thing. And so I guess it's back to you, Bob, W2BOB in the group and to NBR.
Okay, Ed to NBR, W2BOV, and, well, being that we're talking about aircraft, I received an email with a video of and two instructors who spoke perfect English, but with an accent, on how to start a Boeing 737. And it is really interesting. I mean, I'm an aircraft buff. I don't fly. I mean, I fly as a passenger, but that's it. But I'm always interested in things like this. This is produced by the Baltic Aviation Academy in Vilnius, Lithuania. So I guess the guys had very, very strange names, so I guess they are Lithuanian. But they also have 16 flight simulators for various aircraft located in 10 European countries. And they have trained over 10,000 aviation specialists, I should say, since they've existed. So very interesting. I would suggest if you're at all interested in following through with it, that you go to do a Google search for Baltic Aviation Academy, and they have sample videos of their flight simulator instructions. And they go through it step by step. You think starting a car is rough? They really very thorough, and as I say, they speak perfect English, but with a Lithuanian accent. Okay, no much else. The wife and I, at this time of year, whenever they're landing on runway 22, we have the planes coming over our house at about 2,000 feet. And the past couple of days with the fog, they've been above or in the fog as they come over. And you get the reflection of the aircraft as it passes the sunlight getting our house. So quite interesting. And it's either a small shadow or a big shadow, and usually the big shadow is a 747. So Okay, back over to Alan. KC2ZUM, W2BOV.
W2BOV, KC2ZUM. George, I know you signed, so if you're still there, just say 73 to you, if you're listening. At this time, we're going to sign also. I stayed in a little longer this morning than I had planned to. I got to get the day rolling here and things that I have lined up for today. So I just want to say, though, that I was with Easton for 5 years, and four of those years were pretty good. When I came in, Frank Borman was the CEO, and when Frank Lorenzo came in, like anything else today, he destroyed that company. It broke up the reservation system and did many other things. And they won't give him they won't let him run an airline anymore these days. He's got a very bad reputation at Lorenzo. But it was good. It was good time there at Easton. Opened a lot of doors for me. I learned a lot and had a lot of fun there. And I miss it. And although I was still able to maintain keeping the flight benefits, because in those days you had to be an airline employee for minimum of 5 years, however you left to keep that. So for me, if I want to, it costs me $9 coach and $12 first class to fly, and that's space availability, of course, it's standby. And but I don't use it too much these days. But on that note, we're going to say 73, and good weekend to everybody, to you, Bob, and George, if you're still listening, Ted, Bob Squared, and John. Enjoy, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you soon. So on that note, 73, and I'll hand it over to you, Ted, N1XUG, this is KC2ZUM, saying 73, and God bless.
KC2ZUM, thank you. I hope your move is successful. I know it will be, because you seem to be a very conscientious guy. By the way, what do you guys know about an oxygen-making machine? I have one, again, a Medicare hospice rental, I guess. And it's making a lot of noise, and I have to get the servicemen to come in on that, and that's the way my life runs here. My question is, how do I know that this machine is really making oxygen? Because I have developed a sinus problem, and if I'm breathing pure oxygen all the time, I'm not getting any pollen or anything. How in the world am I getting sinus problems? Or is this machine just pumping polluted air? I suppose if I lit a match, I would find out if it was really oxygen, but that might be causing a terrible, terrible situation, since the rule is no smoking when oxygen is being used. Anybody got anything to add to that, I would appreciate it. Take care. And over to you, KC2EMG, N1XUG.
K2ETN for a comment.
Go ahead.
On that oxygen pain, rather interesting. My wife was by a while, and I was kind of curious how they worked, electrolysis or anything like that. There's a water softener material called zeolite, the water softener. It has another property, which probably was discovered by mistake, that if you put it in a container and pressurize the container with air, room air, to about 20, that the zeolite absorbs nitrogen and not absorbs oxygen. So what's left, which is, you know, nitrogen, the rest is, and it has two chambers. It goes back and forth between the two, pressurizing one and allowing the other one to go to the outside world through your oxygen mask and so whatever, switches over to the other one, goes back and forth, a steady flow of oxygen. myself. I didn't know how many people were aware of how that thing worked. I was crying myself.
W2BOB disconnected.
Oh, this is N1XQG. Thank you for the info. I didn't get your call letters, but I still don't know how that operates, and I'm glad you kind of cleared it up, but I still don't know how I'm still having a sinus problem with pure oxygen. I have to get hold of a service guy to come in, because there must be some kind of a filtering system. I originally had another machine that used water for the air to go through, I guess, or the oxygen to go through, and it purified it, I think, and kept the moisture going. But this one doesn't have that condition. Anyway, thank you again, and I will return it back to whoever gets it next. Sorry I had a break in.
CC2EFG. Ted, I know you're not supposed to have a flame around to find out if it's oxygen or not, but I'm thinking so many times if you have a kitchen match and you blow it out, it continues to glow for a second or two. And if you were to bring that near the stream of whatever it is that having disconnected it from your face first, and if that glowing little ember bursts into flame, you know you've got oxygen. That would be my quick test, but you'd have to strike the match in the other room or whatever. Okay, we'll say 73s. We've enjoyed this morning, and good luck to Ted on your exploits there. You have developed a whole new set of skills. So KC2EMG will be listening out. Over to you, John, and 2MBR to pick it up.
Okay. Bob? A friend of mine used to fly for Eastern Airlines. She married another friend of mine. Until the airline went under, the two of them were working hard and they were putting money away for their house and such. While it was around, it was a good airline. They did the New York, Washington, Boston commuter route there for a while. I guess it got too expensive because of fuel and whatnot, and so eventually that put them under. I wonder how much of that type of service is around today. It'd be interesting to know. Ted, do you remember? Do you have any quarter-inch tape machines in your collection of old stuff next time you go around? W2BOB in the group, N2NBR.
Ted, you want to answer John's question? Do you have any quarter-inch tape machines in your collection of stuff? Over.
Yeah, I think I have two Revoxes. A four-track and a two-track Revox, 10-inch reels. Somewhere in the house. I don't know where it is because I'm not mobile, as you know. So does that answer your question, John?
Yes, Ted, it does. But let me know if you ever want to sell one. The four-track I would not be interested in because it's difficult to edit on those, but two-track would be fine.
Okay, I'll think about it. I think I also have an Ampex 300. A 300 Ampex is also a 10-inch reel. The problem with the Ampex 300 is that the motor is before the heads and not after the heads, like the 351. But it works fine. Once the last time I used it, probably 10 years ago. So again, somewhere around the house, I don't know where it all is. Sorry about that. Back to you, John.
Well, if you have the manual, parts generally is an issue. I have an old Ampex 601, which, as you know, is about 50 years old, and I've had to treat it with LTC, mechanically at least, and electronically, the tubes are kind of old, but you know, and they have idiosyncrasies. I've had to clean all the fittings on everything that I could reach, you know, with chemicals and stuff. The only thing, the holdback tension on the Ampex is a little bit strong once the 7-inch reel gets down towards the hub. You know, when the date gets down closer to the hub. But other than that, it has a holdback tension of about 5 or 6 ounces, something like that. And unfortunately, I have a device that measures that. So I was looking at the internet the other day, and there's some quite interesting stuff there. Usually it's half track, sometimes it's full track. I'm told that the Ampex 601 is the most popular full track machine around because it's both portable as well as professional. So, thank you, Ted. Maybe we can get together over the phone sometime. Back to you, Bob, W2BOB in a group and to NBR.
Yes, contact, Bob. Ted. John, I think I have one of those portable Ampexes. I think it had a brown plastic case. That was a pretty handy little machine. I think I also have somewhere around a whole bunch of head assemblies for the Ampex. Full track, two track, and whatever. I don't know. But since I'm in bed all the time, this is like another world to me. So I can't even think about it. Sorry about that. Back to you, Bob. W2BOB and 1XUG.
Okay, Ted. And 1XUG, W2BOB. Very good. Yeah, you've got quite a collection there. I'm trying to think of the name that just flew out of my head, but the old-timer at WCBS Radio who was in management and had a desk, and I can't remember his name, but he had a collection of antique microphones from years at CBS, and everybody was envious of his collection. Because he had the RCA 77DXs and the 44BXs and the Altec 639s, which were a much better microphone, apparently. I never used one. I did have an RCA 74MB in my collection, but I sold that. Ribbon mics are very, very difficult to keep operating properly. And unless you're a specialist, and there was one at CBS by the name of John Treisner, who used to be on our two-meter line. Well, he was the silent key, of course, but he was the one that CBS trained, and his primary duty was repairing the RCA ribbon mics, so they wouldn't have to send them back to RCA to have it done. And he was very good at what he did. But anyway, so much for that. And I've still got a 10-inch reel machine here. It's a Revere, I think 1011, and I haven't used it in years, but it does accept the 10-inch reels, and I think I have spare heads for it, too. One was full track, and the other was half track. The half track, I think, is still in it, but I haven't used it in a long time. So there you go. Okay, I'll say 73. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll try it again Monday morning at 9 o'clock. With that, any of you haven't given a 73, you can do it now, and we'll close this out. W2BOB.
This is N1XUG. Bob, who was that came in before to talk about the oxygen machine? I didn't hear him on the net again. Or it was the one of you guys. I don't know.
That was the operator of this repeater, K2ETN, Andy. He's the guy that has this repeater up and running, Ted. Over.
Oh, okay, Andy. I hope he can run that by me again, because I quite didn't get the whole explanation of that whole oxygen machine. And I am interested, because I have to use it all the time,
and consequently it's very important to me. So if he's around and he has a moment to spare, I wish you could run by me that explanation again. Thank you, Andy. And thank you, Bob, and I'll say 73, standing by, listening in.
All right. What that machine does is it tracks nitrogen, air, leaving oxygen. The way it works is this plastic material, that's a zeolite, has the rather unusual property of absorbing nitrogen when it is in a closed container and pressurized to about 20 psi. What they do is they have two chambers and a compressor which can work connected to either one and go switching back and forth. They have a valve in there. They first turn it on, pressurize one container, and that will, the zeolite in that container will absorb the nitrogen, leaving mostly oxygen, about 90-some-odd% oxygen. After that has filled up to the proper amount of pressure of 20 psi, then the contents of that container, which is now almost pure oxygen, vented to goes to the oxygen mask. While that's going on, the other chamber is being and that will build up a mostly oxygen and absorbing the nitrogen. And after that, while that's going on, the first container vents everything and takes in air, so it's ready for the next cycle. So it goes back and forth, let it drop. It goes back and forth like that between the two chambers. Zeolite has nothing to do with oxygen or anything else. I'm sure somebody discovered that by accident. But that's the way it works, and consequently it needs no external attention. You don't have to know electrolysis or anything like that. So it's rather a neat system right there.
Yeah, the first machine, Andy, I had, and they brought me 6 bottles of water, and something had to be refilled. My aide takes care of that. This one I have does not have that feature. I don't know if that was just to provide moisture so you don't have a dry mouth or something like that. But this one doesn't have that feature. And maybe I should not light a match. Is that so, Andy?
Well, the small amount of oxygen that you're working with, I don't think is going to give you any trouble. Besides, oxygen does not burn. It's other things burn, but it doesn't burn. That in mind, too. But the water, yes, it's for humidifying the air, because when in the process of doing this, the oxygen makes the air, or the gas, the oxygen that generates, is very dry, that humidity. So they have a bottle of water that bubbles through the water and then picks up. It has nothing to do with the generation of the oxygen.
Very good. I know this doesn't have to do much with radio, but I hated to bring up the subject, but there's always somebody that knows something about something. And maybe this dry air is also what's causing my sinus problem. So I thank you so much for your time and your explanation. Unbelievable. That little thing does all those things. I also have a couple of tanks, oxygen tanks, that I know are pure oxygen. And maybe we'll try one of these days. Thank you again, Andy. I'll say 73. Keep up the good work. You have a great net here and a great repeater.
Okay, well, thank you. My wife was on oxygen about 10 years. She passed away. I was very curious about it. I did look into it a little bit. As far as the moisturizing is concerned, it's more of a frill. It isn't necessary, but it makes it much more comfortable for the person who's using it because it's dry. Lips are crack and all that kind of thing. So, good idea to use it. And it's just, you use distilled water, by the way. Don't use tap water in that bottle. You can get distilled water in any supermarket. Not mineral water, distilled water. And because otherwise you'll be putting don't know what in the air, and you'll go into the oxygen, and you'll be breathing it, and that probably would do your lungs any good. So water. 7-3, good luck with it. Take 2 EPN.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, with the original machine, I did get 6 bottles of, distilled water.